This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Monday, August 30th, 2010. I'm Larissa Anderson in for John Moe. Tomorrow is the last day to submit entries for the Apps for Africa contest. It's sponsored by the U.S. State Department as well as three East African organizations. Developers in Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Tanzania have a chance to build technology that will solve regional problems. Anil Dash is one of the judges. He says the U.S. tech community could learn a lot from the emerging tech scene in Africa.
I think there's a tendency for technologists in the U.S. to kind of, frankly, be a little bit condescending towards the rest of the world in developing technology. But I look at some, you know, a technology like a platform called Ushahidi, which is a crowdsourcing application that came out of Kenya.
Right. We had a story about that last week.
Yeah. And it's, it's a world-class, fantastic bit of software that nobody in the States has been able to make yet. And so I love that just from a pure technology standpoint, what are coming out of some of the submissions for Apps for Africa are among the most interesting apps in the world, period.
And what are some of the examples of the apps that have been submitted so far? Have you seen any submissions?
No, not to offer any spoilers, but some of the things I've seen around learning are really, really interesting. Building, what I think of as kind of a modern version of flashcards to help students learn, pretty complicated concepts through something as simple as text messaging. You know, on the other hand, it's job boards, things that in the States, a lot of us would go to Craigslist for, of functional things like finding a job, being able to trade goods and things like that. People are building apps for that. And then even, some of the loftier goals of, improving voting process, improving reporting of corruption.
Anil Dash. The winners won't be named until next month, so Joshua Goldstein, co-coordinator of the Apps for Africa contest, doesn't want to say too much about the submissions. But, he says, technology has already been changing East African communities.
One exciting example is a project called Map Kibera, where 13 young people from around Kibera, which is one of the largest slums in East Africa, are learning to use GPS devices and software. It's a map that's free and open online, so they can then use it to advocate for the things they care about.
Like education, security, and sanitation, Joshua says the most successful aspect of the contest has been the communication between developers and community members.
If you're a developer in Nairobi, you may be very excited about building an iPhone app for medical information distribution. But if you're a community health worker in northern Kenya, what you want is an SMS-based application.
An SMS stands for Short Message Service. It's a text message, and it's incredibly popular among the estimated 50 million mobile phone subscribers in East Africa. Again, Anil Dash.
One of the things that has consistently come up is in many parts of the developing world, things like simple messaging service, text messaging, is more pervasive than clean water, right? So we have just an unbelievable reach with technology that can help with every other problem or opportunity in society.
After tomorrow, Anil and a panel of judges will be combing through these apps. The winners will get money, gadgets, and Anil says it's pretty likely that these apps will actually become something lots of people use. Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. Say goodbye to those nights wandering around Blockbuster looking for a movie to watch. The video rental company is expected to file for bankruptcy in September and close 500 to 800 stores. The Pew Internet and American Life Project is out with a new report. It shows the number of internet users 50 and older on social media sites like Facebook and Twitter has nearly doubled since last year. Same story for the number of internet users 65 and older. The federal government is starting work today on removing a temporary cap that's kept oil from rushing out of BP's well beneath the Gulf. The Coast Guard has ordered BP to be ready to collect any leaking oil. Too bad they don't have a new technology just unveiled at MIT. It's called SeaSwarm, and it's a group of little robots that drag nanofabric over the surface of the water to collect pollutants like oil. The fabric can absorb 20 times its weight in oil. These robots use Wi-Fi and GPS technology to find the oil by themselves. They've tested a prototype in Boston's polluted Charles River to make sure the waves wouldn't disrupt the robots. Just this past weekend, researchers ran another test in Venice, Italy. You can follow us on Twitter. We're at Future Tense APM. I'm Larissa Anderson, and for John Moe, this is Future Tense.
Future Tense is supported by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. You can meet people talking about today's news at news.gather.com.